Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the Ramble Room. This is Diane, and I'm kind of by myself today. Ken's sitting here, and he'll jump in if I flounder, but I am talking today to Michelle St. Louis, and she is a famous homeschool advocate, and I am not a famous homeschool advocate, but I am a homeschool advocate. So we're going to let her introduce herself and just tell us why she's here talking to us today.
Hi, thanks, Diane. Yeah, I have been a homeschool mom for 13 years and been an advocate for homeschooling and educational parental rights since like 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. And I just saw things that were a little bit concerning, especially with school districts and things of that nature of overstepping concerning our homeschool rights and freedoms. And so somebody needed to be an advocate because a lot of parents were falling for it, especially new homeschool moms, homeschool parents, when the schools would be handing them a packet and saying, hey, fill this out, right? And wanted to withdraw their children, and the parents would think that they had to.
Right.
And they would fill out this data mining packet. And I was seeing that time and time again. So somebody had to step up and tell parents, no, don't fill out that packet. That's data mining. Mm-hmm. And of course, there was other things that came into play too that caused me to jump in and just advocate for parents to make sure that their rights were not infringed upon.
Well, good. Thank you. Why do we need to homeschool? Who should homeschool, and why should we do it?
Honestly, everybody should homeschool. I know it's not possible for everybody, and I realize that there's terrible circumstances, their custody issues and things like that. And I understand that not everybody can homeschool.
Right.
However, I do think everybody should.
And I do too. Know that, I agree.
I think that, but you know, there's other options. Mm-hmm. The government is not the only option out there.
Right.
And I do, sadly, that the church has actually dropped the ball a lot. The Church Universal has dropped the ball when it comes to the education of our children, because the church isn't stepping up to help parents who don't have the means to do a private education or are struggling to be able to find the ability to homeschool. And the church should be helping fill that void and help fill that gap, and they're not.
Right. The church has... Go ahead.
Yeah, the church has left the building. I mean, but they haven't actually done much, right? They're not stepping up. And the church has actually enabled people and encouraged people to send their children to the government schools to be a light into the darkness.
Right.
They're not ready to go out into the mission field. And it's like, what is that Vodi Bakum quote? Remember that about you sending your teaser and being surprised when they... only obey Caesar
when they come back as Romans. Yeah,
right, back as Romans. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing, their children, their minds are pliable, as you know, and it's really amazing just watching. The children are sponges. Mm-hmm. and that's the other thing that parents don't know, because most of us went through the government education system.
Right. And that's, parents do know that children are sponges, but they have been brainwashed into thinking that for some reason, those two things aren't mutually exclusive. So they are sponges, but I can still send them to public school where they're trying to brainwash them against my wishes, and it'll be okay because I'll tell them differently when they get home.
Right. And I mean, gosh, remember, Proverbs 22:6, right? Train up a child in the way they should go. When they are older, they will not depart from it. And Christians know that. We know that verse. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You tell yourself that all the time. And that's why you get your child up and you drag their butt to church, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's the verse, right? This is the go to church verse. This is the do your Bible study verse, right? This
yes.
is everything. But yet we send them to the government schools where they teach the children to not be patriotic. They teach them anti God science, and they remove all the anything pertaining to God or Christianity out of history. They remove all of those things. They teach them that Christianity is fake and false and blah, 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 right? Make it almost a mythology in these schools. And that's where they're getting the majority of their training. They're spending more time in these government indoctrination centers learning things that are opposite of everything that we teach them at church and they're not spending as much time at church, and they're not getting that home Bible instruction for the same amount of time that they are getting indoctrinated in the government schools. And so how do we expect them to turn out?
Right. They also are not spending enough time at home with their parents to reverse that, even if that were possible, because there's so many other activities that we got to get to after school. And let's just pick up dinner on the way because we're late, and then it's going to be time to get home. And oh gosh, how are we going to get the homework done? It's time to take baths and get in bed. And oh, we were going to talk about the Bible today, but it's too late. It's time to get in bed because we have to be up early in the morning and do this again.
Right. And those in the everyday learning opportunities, Diane, that I'm sure you remember that come up where you have real life object lessons in front of you where you can use the Bible is that teaching moment, right? You can use it through everything when you're at home with your kids every single day.
Right.
And that would come up all the time, just constant throughout the day, or you're learning about one thing, you're like, hey, there's a scripture about that. Let's go take a look at that. You're not even in Bible, but something comes up and you're able to dig into that. You're able to go deeper.
Right.
And there's just those moments and you're able to guard more and pay attention more to what's going on. And you can try to guard that and build them up in that and train them, right? Because that's the whole point of it was to train your children in the ways that they should go. And sadly, we're allowing strangers to do that. People you don't know. You don't know what they're pro you don't know the you get a different teacher every year. When you get into middle school and high school, you got different teachers every year, but you got seven of them every year.
Right, and that's kind of how we ended up getting finally making the decision to homeschool after several years of just not being able to work that out. My middle son was in first grade, kindergarten and first grade. His teachers loved him, and there were some problems that they had to deal with, but they knew he was smart and didn't, was well intentioned, and they just really loved him, so they worked with him. And his second grade teacher didn't want to mess with him, and so she decided that he was stupid and was going to have him in trouble all the time and tell other people how stupid he was. And I just thought, oh, we cannot go through the next 10 years just with the crapshoot of will he get a decent teacher this year? This is God telling me it's time now.
Exactly. And my kids never, full disclosure, my kids never went to government schools. Before I homeschooled, they did. My two oldest attended a private school, a Christian school, and just events in our life led to us not being able to afford to continue on
Right.
that. But and that's what began the homeschooling journey. But I kind of always wanted a homeschool up until then. And but it was the same thing. My son, we managed to get himself in trouble all the time. He spent kindergarten in the hallway of his, and
Oh.
he was still the best reader in class. He was still at the top. His class had four kids in it, but he's just a brilliant kid, just absolutely brilliant. He's just, like I said, he's a sponge, right? And the
Yes.
thing people don't realize, because we've been conditioned to believe that we need to be taught and that children need to be taught, and that is the conditioning that we've gone through for generations. So this is why we believe it to be true,
Right, taught by experts.
taught by experts. But the fact is, children can learn. Children do not need to be force-fed thoughts. They're fully capable of actually learning, and it doesn't take teaching. So when everybody thinks that they have to be a qualified teacher, or I could never teach my child, you need to get yourself out of that mentality. It's not you teaching them. That's you getting out of the way and a lot facilitating them while they learn.
Well, you
Giving them
already did teach your kids.
right.
Do
You
they
taught
know
and
how to
trained.
talk?
Exactly. They learn how to talk. They learn how to go potty. They tie their shoes, ride a bike, right? All these parents are not qualified to teach my kid. And like you said, you did teach your kid.
Yes.
You taught them all of these things before that you could, and look at the list of things that they're expected to know before they can even go to a government kindergarten class. And
Right.
so,
I know I didn't know there was a test.
right? You're like, and then all these parents are scrambling before the first day of kindergarten thinking, oh my, I'm a bad parent. I'm up terrible, and they just feel terrible because their kid's still struggling to tie their shoes. Guess what? It's okay if they don't know how to tie their shoes when they're 5 or 6 years old. It's okay. They will learn it eventually.
Right.
It's,
Well, and
you know.
that could be a whole I could go on that one for a long time because I taught in a private school after I homeschooled my kids, I taught in a private school for a while, and just got to see more of how other kids do things. And there's no deadline for learning those things. But where the public schools have taught us that if they're not reading, you know, by the time they get out of kindergarten, there's something wrong with them. So we're either going to put them in a special education class or we're going to drug them. And then by third grade, you know, they should be on their way. We should hardly have to do anything with them anymore. And there are a lot of kids who don't really get ready to read until about third grade, but we have no patience with that anymore, because that would be humiliating to the parents if they're not reading by then.
Right. And here's the strange, there was a study years ago, and I should have looked it up before. And it was about 9 or 10 years old was the actually the ideal time to be teaching children to read. Especially for boys. And that was a developmental thing. And there was no advantage, zero advantage for learning how to read in preschool or kindergarten over learning to read when you were 9 or 10. There was absolutely, right. That's what the study proved. There was zero advantage over it. And they said that was actually more advantageous for children to naturally learn to read when they're mm-hmm. older instead of progression than to be taught it at a younger age.
Right. Many kids do learn younger because they want to. But
that's fine.
Yeah, but you don't push. There's no point in pushing.
Right. My son at 4 or 5 years old was the top reader in his class. And I mean, he was reading the teacher book, the teacher parts of mm-hmm. the book, because there was only like 4 kids in his class. So they couldn't justify buying an entire new series of readers just mm-hmm. for one kid. So he had to read the teacher parts, and that's fine. Did my other kids read at that level that early? No, but you know, and I have one with dyslexia who still, if she thinks about it, she really struggles. When she doesn't think about it, she's fluent. And mm-hmm. of course, I pointed out to her, do you realize you just read that whole thing without stumbling once?
Right.
You know, half the time her excuse is, I can't read that, I have dyslexia. Oh, no. You just read that entire math lesson to me the other day. Uh-huh. You're fine. You're just making up an excuse. But you know, every child learns at their own level, their own pace. And, you know, it's Einstein said that everyone is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it that it is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely true. We are sticking children in a box and expecting every child to do everything at the same time. They're individuals. God created them to be individuals. He created them for each individual purpose. Give them individual interests, individual abilities. And that is what's important here, because why would God create us as individuals if he wanted us all to be the same?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big issue.
That's now, practically heresy these days.
It is. And of course, now what are we doing now? Do you remember the video for Another Brick in the Wall? You know,
no.
Their whole faces are covered in these plastic masks. And basically they're in the classroom and they're all wearing these masks covering their faces, and they got eye holes in these plastic masks, right? But basically they're faceless, and then they go through this factory and they basically go down through the meat grinder, mm-hmm. right?
And who would do such a thing?
Exactly. But now what's going on? Now we've got our kids masked and socially distanced in a classroom. Meanwhile, kids need to be socialized. That's why we can't. Because of socialization, but now you got to socially distance by your child's wearing a mask. How is that proper socialization?
Right. So which is it?
Which is it? Pick. Because right now, I'll tell you what, my kids are friends of people of all ages, adults, children, right. It doesn't matter. They go out, strike up friendships. My daughter's a figure skater. And before I was working full time, we would go to the ice rink during public skate every day of the week. And there was several times a week, the high school would have they had a special PE program, and it's like an alternative type of PE. And then they would go throughout and do different activities throughout town. It wasn't on campus thing. And they would come to the ice rink and do different activities, whether it was skating or curling or whatever, they would do different things on the ice rink. So she would strike up conversations. She would help these on the days they were skating. She would help the high schoolers who kept falling down. She would mm-hmm. give them points on how to not fall or how to fall properly so you didn't hurt yourself.
Yeah, right.
whatever, and she would strike up friendships with the adults who were practicing, any little kids who came in, and she would take the little kids out and teach them how to skate, and just anybody, she can engage with anybody, and she's not afraid to talk to anyone.
Right.
And I'm being told that I'm keeping my kids home and they're not properly socialized. Meanwhile, everybody else is being stuck in a classroom for 8 hours a day with children their own age and one adult, and now they're being spaced out and have masks covering their faces. I'm not
Right.
understanding that's normal, and going to the ice rink and meeting and talking to strangers is abnormal.
But
You know?
the adults who meet kids like that always really appreciate them, though, and they know there's something different about them, and they think they're wonderful.
Right, and that they can carry on an intelligent conversation.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I forgot I was talking to a kid for a second,
And
you
they're
know? And
respectful.
yes,
That's pretty impressive.
it is. Now, homeschool kids aren't always angels. I mean,
No.
God, I spent a lot of time breaking up fights during, you know.
Right.
So, but but you're there to correct it. When they're not being angelic, you're there to correct it. You're there to put a stop to it.
Right.
Hey, Jim, this is why my son, I'll tell you what, he'll be 18.
Oh.
He's done with school, but he's going to be taking some college classes. He's still trying to figure out what he wants to do when he grows up. But he would get himself in trouble all the time. He was an avid reader, okay? He's the one I told you was sitting, he would sit in the hallway in kindergarten. He was a distraction to the class. But he would get out and I'd be like, you need to go take a reading break. You know, sit off of the book, and you just have to go read. And guess what? That kid has read so much. It's just, he's read than most people, more in his life than most people have in an entire
Well,
lifetime.
good.
It's just incredible. But it's because I was like, you know what? Why punish him? Like, he's
Right.
acting. What's the reason for it? Whatever. But he needed to be separated from everybody else. But I wasn't going to take everything away. So go read. Just go read. Half the time he'd fall asleep and take a nap. I didn't care. It got everything to calm
Whatever works.